Today's Bible reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Amen.
I know some of us here are great gardeners. I'm not one of those people. I would just much rather have someone do all the gardening work for me and me to live in the garden and enjoy it, but that isn't how it works. And as far as gardens go, I've got one pet hate. No, it's not rocks. Vines. I hate vines. And I hate vines. When we moved into our house, where our cars park in the front door, there's a water tank because we're in Stanthorpe, and then there's a shed because we're in Stanthorpe. And in between the water tank and the shed is a grapevine because we're in Stanthorpe. And so the grapevine was beautiful. It was all over the water tank and around the shed and over the top. And what do grapes vines produce? Grapes, yeah, and so it was doing a great job. And what do grapes produce? Bees. Wine. Aren't you Baptists? They produce bees. Now, Janelle has allergies. Bees are a big one. And so we walk towards our house with a flock, I believe that's what you call them, a flock of bees. Not great. So I cut back the vine. I cut back the grapes, as you do, cut it back to a stump. And I can tell you right now, my grapes are so happy and thankful that I got rid of them, because they're back in a beautiful, horrid way, growing and producing and doing good viney things. Oh, I hate vine. And then we got this wisteria. I think it's a wisteria. I could be wrong. Matters not, I hate it. And in between all this sort of a bare sort of block and stuff, it just grows, and it grows so well. And it doesn't like to just stay on the ground. Why would you? When you can climb gum trees. So the gum is climbing up through trees. So through the winter, cut it back, cut it back, cut it back. Got over it, so left a bit. Oh, it's so happy. It's so thankful. It's growing beautifully. And every time I stand on my veranda, I look out, I go, I hate vines. And the reason I hate vines is because they're so good at what they do, aren't they? please never grow a vine in my house. Whenever Janelle brings home, the first thing I look for, is it a vine? Because if it's a vine, it's going to get fertilized in the negative. Because I hate vines, because they are so good at what they do. And Jesus turns around and tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And a part of me goes, oh, I'd rather you do something different. And a part of me goes, that is so good. Because the vine is so good at what it does. So let's reread what Harry read in John 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that he will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word has spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, I've been talking for the last few weeks about the I am statements of Jesus. And this is another of the I am statements, I am the vine. But I want to look at what that means for us as well. The place where this takes place is in the upper room. So Jesus is in that place with the disciples, knowing that he is about to be taken away and sacrificed, understanding that that changes everything, knowing that some of the disciples are like, I think I get it. And most of the disciples are going, so good to have you around for the next year. You know, they're looking at 2025 going, oh, Jesus, big year next year, buddy. And Jesus is going, that's not how it works. And Jesus is trying to reframe who they are, what it looks like. Where does God fit into this? Where are the disciples outside? Where are his 12 apostles? Where is he? Where is God? So he tells this analogy of how this all works. That God is the gardener. God the Father is the gardener. He trims, he directs, he looks after. He trims back bad branches, he prunes good branches, he gets rid of and burns the bad branches, the unfruitful branches. God is the gardener. And Jesus is saying, I'm the vine. I've got the roots in the ground, I'm connected, and then you are the branches. So all of you are connected into the vine, and the gardener looks after us. Jesus knows that he will not be with them physically. He knows that that is all going to change. So for the disciples, their picture is that Jesus is gone. He's nowhere. And yet Jesus is saying, I'm not nowhere. I'm actually more a part of who you are than I ever have been. Jesus is saying that I am the vine, and you are all connected into me. So what does that mean for us? We are grafted into the vine. When we become Christians, when we accept Jesus, we're connected into Jesus. We're connected into who he is. We're grafted into the vine, the strength, the supplement. I'm not sure what that's the right word, but the supplements we need, the strength that we need is given to us through the vine. That we are grafted into not just Jesus, but we're then connected together to all of us. When I become a Christian, I am blessed. That Jesus is giving me everything I need to live life, to be whole, to be healed, to be strong. The essence of the vine is connected into me as I have Jesus living in me. The flip side of that is that I have responsibilities, as does the branch of a vine. Because the branch of the vine has all the leaves on it. The leaves get the water, they get the sun, they do all sorts of tree biological things and help everybody else. The role of the branch is to help build the vine and to help support the other branches that are not getting the sun and the rain as they might be. The branches are all going in different directions, and as they are, the Father is coming around and redirecting the branches to where they should be. And I'm doing that with my grapevine at the moment. The Father redirects the vine, and we need to be ready and willing to be redirected. That our responsibility as a branch, as we go, yeah, I'm going over here, is to say, yeah, no, as God leads us back to where he wants us to be, as he redirects the branch. And the branches also grow and support the flowers. Then the flowers become the fruit. So the branches have the responsibility of gathering nutrients to support the family, to be able to be redirected to go where the gardener knows best, and also to be able to produce the fruit for the future. I am a branch, but we are also a branch. That we as a church are a branch connected into the vine. That we have the same responsibilities as a church as what I do as a Christian. As a follower of Jesus, we are followers of Jesus. So we have an identity, we have a connection, we have a responsibility as God supports and strengthens us as a church, as a community, as a family. And for the vine to be the healthiest, the gardener works with us. And the gardener removes the fruitless branches. Hands up if you're... No. The fruitless branches get removed. And there's reasons for that. A part of the reason is that if you have a lot of branches in the same place and they're all producing flowers in the same place, you're not going to get your fruit because it's too condensed and too compacted. That the gardener needs to pull branches out. The branches that are producing the smaller amount of fruit are removed so that the branches that are producing a whole heap of fruit can be encouraged more to grow better fruit. He removes the branches that are not fruitful. He removes the branches that are not doing what they're meant to do. But the owner also prunes the branches that are doing well. Each in Israel, in the time, in December, January, it's time for all the branches to get pruned. And so they go through and prune all the branches back so that then the vine grows more. And as I talked before, vines love to get pruned because it encourages their growth, encourages their productivity. And as it says in, I think it's verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so it may bear more fruit. You know what that says to me? That says that every branch gets cut. Every one of us gets cut. Hallelujah! Praise God for problems. You're not following. There's purpose in the life that we live. There's purpose in the frustrations. There's purpose in the pain. There's purpose in all those things that happen around us. Now, I'm not saying that God sends them because he likes to see us suffer. That's not what I'm saying. But God uses those situations to teach us, to disciple us, to help us to produce more and more fruit, to be able to produce more and more of who we are. God is committed to us to grow stronger and to grow healthier. And that means we are going to get pruned. Who enjoys the pruning? Okay, I'm just checking to make sure there's no liars. Thanks, Peter. Not pruning. Sorry, being pruned. We don't enjoy it. It's not nice. It's not fun. I'm sure that the vine doesn't look at me coming with secateurs saying, oh, good days. But it needs it. We need it. We need God to prune us, to look after us, to redirect us. And God the Father, as the gardener, sees the big picture. understands what's happening through us, around us. He understands how we fit as a church and as individuals. He understands our strengths and our weaknesses, our challenges, and enables us to be to grow stronger and healthier as he prunes us and directs us. Hebrews 12 says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everybody undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all." God is calling us to become more like him, and he is refining us to reflect him better, and he is pruning us and redirecting us so that we individually and as a church can be the wholeness of who he is calling us to be. A part of that means that when we look, when we gather together and we bunch together and we're looking in, we're not actually producing fruit. As the gardener thins out to produce fruit better, it's because the branches have come together and they're stopping all the nutrients coming in. As a church, we need to be able to find that space where God's able to use us to produce the fruit. One of the issues that I see in a lot of churches, not us, a lot of churches, is that we become so insular and so connected and so compressed, they're actually not producing fruit because the nutrients can't get in. Do you see that picture? That the more we're connected together and we're coming together and we don't look out, we're just looking after our own wants, we're looking after what I need, we're looking after me, the more we're doing that, the more we're actually not getting the nutrients we need. We're not doing what God's calling us to do as people or as a church. And the more interconnected, the less ability for God to help us to flourish. God's calling us to be a church. He's calling us to bear fruit. As we look through this passage, there's in the first seven verses, there's seven times where Jesus says, produce fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. It's the purpose of who we are. It's the purpose of the vine. It's there to produce fruit. God's calling us to produce fruit. But I don't know about you, I'm not a great gardener. I'm trying new strategies. One of my strategies is I've got a couple of lemon trees. I did not plant lemon trees, but lemon trees are happy to live in my yard. Don't buy lemon trees. Lemon trees have spikes, and when you trim them and prune them, it's just a bad, bad day. And it's a bad month because you miss a few and you stand on them in your work thongs. Anyway, if it's in my garden, I want it to bear fruit. I want it to be healthy, you know, so you prune it, you get stabbed, life goes on. I've got a new strategy. What I'm doing is I'm going down each day and I'm looking at my lemon tree right in the flowers, as you do, and I'm saying, bear fruit, sucker! Bear fruit! This is what your purpose is. Your purpose as a tree is to bear fruit. Bear fruit! And you know what that's doing? Wearing me out. Not doing a whole lot for the tree. And for me to sit here and say to you guys, bear fruit, this is what your job is, bear fruit, bear fruit. It's going to wear me out. It's going to wear you out. It's not going to get us anywhere, is it? Because in this same passage, in the first 10 verses, it says 10 times, abide. When Jesus is talking about bearing fruit, he's also talking about abide. So what's abiding? It's where we retreat to. It's where we live. It's where we're comfortable. It's where we get our strength from. I abide east side, because east side's the better side. but I love where I live. I love the house that we have. It's got a kitchen. It's got a fridge. What else do you need? Apparently, it's got a shower and a bathroom. Whatever. my house where I abide is where it's my safe zone. It's where I come back to. It's where I get my strength from to be able to do life. and we all have our place where we come to abide. And Jesus is saying, abide. Find that place of your strength. Find that place where you come back to, where you get your strength from. Find that place that is your space. A place where you connect into and you get your physical strength. But then Jesus also goes on and says, not just to abide, but to abide in me. In those same 10 passages, he says it 8 times, in me, abide in me. Jesus says, abide in me. And if you're not going to get that picture from the vine, don't know where you're getting it from. Because the whole understanding of a vine, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide, connect, get your strength from me. Feed us, connect in with us. Be a part of the body of Christ. That's who we're designed to be. Verse 4 and 5, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The abide in me, God's calling us to abide in him. It's an active, it's a choice, it's an understanding, it's a decision, it's a commitment that we make to abide in God, to connect with him, to spend time with him, to learn from him. We're called, Jesus saying, abide in me. And then he says, and I will abide in you. And the verb there is a passive verb. The active, abide in me, and the passive, and I will abide in you. That's nothing that we have to do. We don't have to do anything for God to abide in us. It's what he wants to do and what he's willing to do and ready to do and doing. Our commitment is to abide in him. So how are we going with connecting with him, learning from him, finding our place of strength in him? Many years ago, I bought my first car. I've done that a few times since. I don't know about you, but my first car probably wasn't brand new and probably wasn't all that good. First love, but not great. And it occasionally would do its own thing. So you get in and you say, hey car, we're going to go for a drive. And the car would say, I don't think we are, which is very unkind. And I asked a friend when it wouldn't start one day, the first time, said, can you come and help me? He said, yeah, that'd be good. So he comes around and he says, okay, we just need to check a few things. I said, okay. He says, okay, well, the spark plug's there, pull the plug lead off, put the screwdriver in, put it across there, hold on to that, and let's see how we go. So, okay, yeah, I got it, I'm right. You know where this is going, right? Yeah, 40,000 volts. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, we got spark. I learned a very important lesson that day. Never listen to him. What I learned was that in order for a car to work, it needs spark and it needs fuel. It had spark, so then we looked at where the fuel problem was. All it needs is two things, spark and fuel. And if it's got fuel and no spark, what have you got? Nothing. And if you've got spark and no fuel, what do you got? Nothing. You got spark and fuel, what have you got? Power. When Jesus says, abide in me and I will abide in you, then you will bear fruit. If I abide in God and don't let him abide in me, what do we got? Nothing. If God's abiding in me and not pursuing him, what do we got? Nothing. When I abide in God and God abides in me, what have I got? Bear fruit. It takes both. We abide in God, God abides in us, and we bear fruit together. Now, I've talked about being a gardener. I'll talk about mathematics. Is that good maths? Abide in him, he abides in us, equals bear fruit. Does that mean I need to yell and scream at you guys, go and bear fruit because you are my lemon tree project? No. That as we connect together, as we support each other and encourage each other, as we chase after God and as we allow God to do his stuff in us, bearing fruit is the result. It's not something we have to say, I need to, I need to, I need to. I don't have to stand here and go, you need to, you need to, you need to. But it's a result of us abiding in God and walking with his people. It's the natural outcome of abiding, connecting, loving, encouraging, and encouraging each other. Now I want to read from, I think it's verse 9, it's really little. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be complete and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Remain in me. I will remain in you. Keep my commands. Find joy. Love one another. Become a friend of Jesus. And so, what comes of that? The next verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love one another. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. God's called us to bear fruit. Now, I don't doubt that each one of us would say, of course, that's who we are. As Christians, we reach out. As a church, we reach out. As a community, our purpose is to reach out. I believe that every single one of us will say, of course, that's who we are. The question I have is that what we do? We have the commitment, we have the brain space, we have it as a value, but is it something we have as an action? Through the last year, there's been different people that have visited different times, and that's really cool. But the people who have invited them, I probably count on one hand. How much are we committed to the action of bearing fruit? We pray about it, we speak about it, we encourage others in it, we set up programs to facilitate it. But how committed are we to the action of connecting to the community beyond us? I want to propose that we have a theme for next year. And when I say propose, I've already decided. Thank you. You can thank me later. I want to have a purpose for next year for us. And that purpose is beyond the fence. Thank you, Janelle. Looks amazing. Beyond the fence. As I said, what do I hate about vines? They go wherever they want, and they climb, and they get out. So often we as Christians are very comfortable within our fence. And I'm not talking physical fence, of course, but I'm talking about where we're comfortable, where we find happiness, where we find it really easy. The challenge is to go beyond the fence, to go beyond those comfortable places, to go beyond where we always go or we've been, to be able to step out beyond the easy, to be able to step out into what's more difficult, to step out in the community which is less comfortable, which is a bit icky sometimes, which is a bit harder. I believe that God is saying to us, step beyond your regular places, beyond the fence, to be able to reach out into our community. The Samaritan woman, I love the story of the Samaritan woman. Jesus comes, he's at the well, he talks with her, he asks her questions, and in a way he actually mocks her and puts her down, and she keeps coming back, and he takes her to a place that she realizes that Jesus is the one. Jesus is God. And so she goes back to the village, grabs everyone from the village, and they all come out and meet Jesus, and the whole village is saved. How amazing is that? The first verse in that passage says, "So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria." Now, Samaria is an area of Israel back in the day that the Jews didn't really go through. When it was time to go up north, instead of going through Samaria, they'd go around it, take extra hours and extra days to get there, because they didn't want to go through the Samaritan area. It was a bit, how are you going? It was culturally not acceptable. It was a bit a place where you just didn't go. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go through Samaria. Jesus got and said, "Go into the town and get food, and I'll stay here and I'll talk to a Samaritan woman." A Samaritan and a woman. Not allowed to, not supposed to, outside of what's acceptable, and yet that's what Jesus did. He went to the place that was uncomfortable, culturally unacceptable, morally disconnected. He went to the bad place that he most probably wasn't all that comfortable in his humanity with, and he transformed an entire village. What is that uncomfortable place in front of us? What is that uncomfortable place in front of you? As we look at 2025 in 2 days' time, what is God challenging us to be able to step outside of where we're comfortable and to be able to step into where it's uncomfortable to bring the story of Jesus? We were talking about chairs. When we're looking at the chairs, I think I've said to a few people, buy a chair for yourself and buy one for the friend that's coming next year. Partially a joke, but I really think there's something in that. I think there's something, and I'm not doing this to get money. Don't, if you think that, that's just not where I'm at. But can you imagine coming into church, all these new chairs, looking and going, I bought one of these, and that one's for my friend that isn't here yet. Sit before God and just say, is that something that I need to do? God's going to challenge each one of us, and it may be through buying a chair. I don't know. But what is it that God's challenging you to do next year? How is God challenging you to step outside of your comfort zone? We've been talking about the calendar. And with the calendar, put something down that you like doing so that you can invite others to come with you. If you want to go to the craft show in Toowoomba, that's great. It's not my thing, surprisingly. But I know some people who kind of are into craft. And so if I'm trying to connect them with us, and I can say, hey, you know, Margaret's going to Toowoomba with the craft show. I'm sure she has a spare seat. And in response to Margaret, this is a nice person, not one of my, you know, nice person. Would you like to go to the craft show with Margaret? I'm sure she'd love to. How do we connect in with people? How do we step outside of the comfortable, what we've always done, where we always go, where we feel secure, to step into what might be more uncomfortable, to be able to meet with and connect with people that don't know Jesus? What's God challenging you for 2025? Let's pray. Jesus, you told us to abide in you, to chase after you, to get our strength, our nutrients from you. And Father, some of us are great at that, and some of us have some room to move, to learn, to do that better. I ask you to help us to learn how to abide in you, how to connect with you, how to learn from you, how to be encouraged by you, and how to be strengthened and encouraged through our family, to become closer to you by walking together and encouraging each other and supporting each other and loving on each other. And Father, as we abide in you, you promise that you will abide in us. You will be with us. You will connect with us and give us the strength we need. And we thank you for that. Father, we might be pruned. Father, help us to learn from that, to grow stronger from that, to become more like Jesus in and through that. And Father, help us to bear fruit, to not be ashamed of you, to not be disconnected from you. But Father, help us to be able to share the love of Jesus, the future and the hope that we have in you with those around us. Jesus, help us to walk into 2025 with a vision, with an excitement for what's next, to be able to hear of your promises and to chase after the things that you're promising for us, so that this time next year we're just filled with stories of thanksgiving, celebrating who you are, celebrating new people who have met us and come into this church, celebrating people that have come to know you, celebrating our own strength and love and compassion and dedication to you and your people. Father, I'm excited for next year. I'm excited for what you're going to do amongst us. And Father, help us in our discomfort to be able to find you and to celebrate you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.